The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Rejoining us for our Hot Takes Wednesday episode are Terry Cushman and Jeremy Schilling. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. We're going to do a couple of hot takes. We've done this before. You guys already know the drill. Jeremy, why don't you lead us off?
So this comes from Randy Clemens at Boston Randy. He says, the Red Sox are lucky to be within 1.5 games of the AL East lead. Devers is in the middle of another horrendous slump. Cassis looks lost at the plate most of the time. Duran needs to be back in center field, and Bregman's defense at third base has been less than worthy of his contract. So I'm going to break this down because some of it I agree with. The Red Sox are lucky to be within 1.5 games. Completely accurate. Lucky to get the White Sox twice and didn't take advantage of it. I've said on previous iterations of this podcast, you can't win the division in the first month of the year, but you can lose it. They haven't lost it. They're in it. So if they can get their legs underneath them, they can get something out of first base, get Connor Wong back. I think you're positioned with the additions from the offseason and having a legitimate ace to get into this race. And I expect them to. I'm not going to worry about Rafael Devers. I'm not. His numbers at the end of the year are going to be what they are every year, you know, right around 30-100. If Duran gets on base, if we can get Rafaela hitting at the bottom of the lineup, so that there are people on base, he's going to get his RBI numbers. No one is going to disagree with Cassis looks lost at the plate most of the time. He has been an absolute dead to right outs. Even when he doesn't strike out, which he's doing very often, he's soft contact and an easy out. I like Duran in left. I don't agree with that. I think it takes some pressure off him playing left field so he can be just a menace on the base paths and also hopefully keep him healthy. And I know Rafael is not hitting as an everyday player right now, but his defense in center is elite. He's slightly better athletically. And he's better throwing the ball, and he's better when he has to leave his feet to make a play. So Rafael is still right now for me your everyday center fielder. So I'm agreeing with a lot of what you're saying. I'm also not worried about Bregman's defense at third base. He made a great play on a bunt for a base hit today, and it was just smooth as hell, and it's there. He's just got to be consistent, and he will be, I think, as we get towards the summer. So a lot going on into this take. I agree with most of it. What say you, fellas?
Randy comments a lot on our threads throughout the week, and I appreciate that. And but I think the biggest thing I took the exception to is Devers. He's in the middle of another horrendous slump. He's not making as much contact with the ball as we wanted. I think if he had just an average first 8 or 9 games to the season, his numbers would look a lot better. But he is leading, Rafi Devers is leading the entire American League right now in walks. He's got 2 more than Aaron Judge. So, you know, he's seeing the ball well. It's just a matter of making contact, and we've seen it in flashes. He did have a big home run that was pivotal in this White Sox series. So I'm not worried about Devers. I'm not worried at all about him. And, you know, I'm more worried about some other guys around him. And then getting back to it here, I mean, I think we are who we are right now. We're 12-10. There's just been a little bit of inconsistency with our lineup. Abreu's been hot and cold. Trevor Story has been very hot lately. You're getting nothing from Tristan Casas. I think Duran is starting to heat up a bit. He did have a hit in every series, only a couple of strikeouts. I think he's not going to match what he did in 2024, but he is going to be an extremely viable leadoff guy. I just think we need to see some patience here. And wrapping it up with Bregman, he's just another guy. We just need a little bit more consistency. Two for 13 in the White Sox series, but he did draw five walks. So it's just a little bit of fine tuning there. And I mean, you can say what you want about the errors, but I think he's had a lot of really good defensive plays so far. And, you know, so I'm not worried there. So many people are worried about this team, and the division's not that good. The American League is not that good. And I still think the potential is immense. I think we could possibly have the best record in the American League by the end of the year. I still believe that.
I mean, I picked the Red Sox to go to the World Series for our preseason show, and I still think that until there's enough of a reason to believe that that won't be the case, I really have to stick with my gut. It's April 20th. We still got plenty of baseball, well over 130 plus games. So here's the thing. So Boston Randy, a couple things got brought up. Devers in the middle of another horrendous slump. Yeah, not really reciting something that nobody knows. I 100% agree with you, but at the end of the year, this is, you know, one of the more elite players in baseball. If he's on your team's exponentially better. Casas looks lost at the plate. Also, I wouldn't say most of the time, I'd say all the time. I mean, this guy just looks like, you know, Bobby Dalbec of last year, just didn't get it going. And it was really, really hard. And I think this is the type of person that could benefit from a little bit of a vacation, phantom injury or something, because I think a drop to AAA would shatter his confidence. So they got to figure out what it is, whether it be a couple days off or something, because this ain't it. It's just not working. I don't think that moving Duran back to center field for all the reasons that were mentioned earlier would be a good idea. If something's working, it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you have somebody who's more athletic and is able to pivot to that position and do well, and Duran can manage arguably a hard left field at Fenway Park, why break it up? Bregman's defense at third base has been less than worthy of his contract. I'd actually be willing to challenge that. It's not so much the defense. The defense, there have been some blips, but he'll figure it out. It is Bregman. The guy has four homers and 16 RBIs in the year. In two of those games, he has three home runs and 10 RBIs. So I almost feel like your concern should be more over the fact that outside of that, he has one home run and six RBIs, and he's your third baseman, which is usually a position of power and knocking in runs, and that hasn't really been the case. So I almost kind of feel like we could go a little easy on the defense and be a little bit more, I guess, aggressive in talk about his offense. And I know I could get chewed out for that because he has won certain games, but the problem is you've won a couple games for us this year, and there have been quite a few games this year where there hasn't really been anything special. And for $40 million a year, I'd like to see a little bit more consistent banging, if you know what I'm saying. Anything else you guys want to add to Boston Randy's take?
No.
Boom. Terry, you're smiling. I already know why. Why don't you hit us with your hot take?
I just thought the consistent banging was...
yeah, anyway. Man.
Yeah. All right.
A lot.
It's a lot, Charlie. Behave coming yourself. From Charlie, Mr. Yeah. Clean on this podcast.
No swears. No swears.
Not Mr. Clean behind the scenes, Mr. Dirty as hell. Wow. But wow. Yeah, here we go. Wow. Throwing Charlie under the bus. All right, here we go. This is a long one. I kept trying to find ways to shorten it, but I can't. I have to read the whole thing. It comes from Mike Spear, who I want to say I don't agree with a lot. He does post sporadically. Not as often as Randy has participated in our threads, but I just find myself not agreeing with him a lot. I like him. I mean, he's classy. He keeps it classy. I respect that, but this is a terrible take. And here we go. He says, Mike Spear says, keep Roman Anthony in AAA until 2026. Focus on building for the future. Him and Marcelo Meyer break with the team next year. Let Christian Campbell be the rookie of the year who can possibly win, and he is eligible for the pick incentive. So in other words, we will gain a draft pick if Christian Campbell wins rookie of the year. He goes on to say, we need that pick to help restock as we grow. Next year, we'd have two shots at it. If Anthony came up and somehow won it this year, there would be no pick. We are log jammed and would be selling low on any of our outfield. It is not a smart choice for the immediate and long-term health of the Red Sox. He is only 20 years old. Do not worry about bringing him up this year. This isn't a hot take. This is the correct take, says Mike Spear. You should have brought Anthony. I don't know where the cutoff is for one for service time. I don't have the wherewithal to look that up, but at some point we gain an extra year. If it hasn't come up yet, it's about to any day now. So perhaps that's the holdup, but he should have been up a week ago. You got a struggling Tristan Casas. He's not necessarily going to take Casas' spot in the lineup, but he's a bat that could be a massive impact. He could do exactly what Christian Campbell is doing right now, which is hitting, I don't have his stats up, around or over 300 with an extremely high on base, has been on base just about every game this year, except maybe one or two. This is Campbell. And I think Anthony could come up and have the same impact. I'm sick of losing. I am sick of losing and I want to win. And I think Roman Anthony would be a big part of that. Rafaela probably loses time because of it. Oh, well, collateral damage. But Boston needs Roman Anthony in here. People on social media are screaming for it from the mountaintops. And we're a week or two past time. He is absolutely destroying it right now in AAA. He's kind of beaten the league. And he's a Major League Baseball player. And he should be up right now. How do you justify it? It does Roman Anthony no good to keep him down in the minors for a year. What message does that send? And, you know, we'll have him for 7 years if we can't extend him. If he's one of those Mookie Betts types guys that doesn't come to terms. Part of that was the Red Sox fault. I'm not saying it was all Mookie because it definitely wasn't. But, if he plays hardball in negotiations and you don't extend him, you still have 7 years to pump out some top talent here. And I want to win now. I wanted to win yesterday and the day before. There's no need to wait on Roman Anthony. Nobody, 99% of Red Sox Nation is going to disagree with you on that. And it wasn't a good take.
Yeah, Mike. You know, if you're listening, thanks for the input. It's appreciated. And I know that if this was a conversation back and forth, I don't think it would feel this way, but I don't intend to gang up on you. Right. But was 4 out of the last 5 last place finishes or whatever it was, not enough for you? They invest in Buehler. They invest in Crochet. They invested in Rafael last year and in Campbell. The future's here, bro. Like if now's not the time to go win, what are we doing? We're not the Chicago White Sox just set to perpetually lose, hold everyone in the minors as long as possible so we have their service time. And by the way, that organization, once you are an established player, they just trade you for more assets anyways. So what are we doing? He's raking. Offensively, he's ready. If there's a spot to put him in or there's a need, and I think he's the type of guy you kind of probably make a spot for, you bring him up to supplement the big league club. That's why we're all here, to win now. You know, Terry and Charlie, I did not. Terry and Charlie picked the Sox to win the whole thing. If you have a piece that can help, bring them up now. If you have a move you have to make outside the organization, now's the time to spend the assets and the dollars to go all in and try to win the thing. If you think Roman Anthony is a generational offensive player, I'd say, let's not have him lose the at-bats in the minor leagues. And I don't normally say this, but with this player, I am, because he's absolutely dominating minor league pitching. He's ready. Everyone can agree. The Red Sox have said it. They agree with it. There's no explanation why he's not up. So if this is over service time, I believe the window's, I think it's 21 or so, 13 or 21. Those are the two numbers sticking in my head, Terry, as far as service time, so that we get him one extra year. I think we're past that. If we're not, it's happening this week, especially if Cassis isn't hitting, especially if Rafael isn't hitting. There's a spot for him, you know, and he might be a plug and play guy for the next X number of years to be one of your, you know, basically your next Devers potentially.
He's the number one prospect in Major League Baseball, and he's ready.
Yeah.
So you lost me at keep Roman Anthony in AAA until 2026. It just doesn't make sense.
That was the start of the tweet.
You know, that you lost me there. You know, I mean, I didn't even read the second half of it. Unfortunately, thank you guys for doing the hard work for me. But Jeremy probably had the response of all hot takes. If you're not going to win now with the team that you have right now, what the hell are you doing? Do you want to continuously be a yesteryear team? Do you want to be the person that always says, oh man, 2018 was awesome. I remember those days. I'd really like to go back to the World Series again. I think that we have the team and we might be able to add a couple pieces, maybe not even via trade, maybe bringing up Roman Anthony, maybe bringing up Marcelo Mayer. But it's just, it's really, really bad if you're saying, oh, we're not going to bring them up because we want Christian Campbell to be the Rookie of the Year candidate, and that would take away from his opportunity to do that. You have no idea what's going to happen with Christian Campbell. You have no idea what's going to happen with Marcelo Mayer or Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony could come up for 3 weeks, not do great, and go back down. Or he could light up the Christmas tree and, you know, Bob's your uncle, whatever. Everything's going the right direction. But if we can get in an even better spot right now, why wouldn't you do that now? Rafael Devers is not Benjamin Button. He's not getting better and younger. He's not getting younger, rather. He's getting older. And you don't get better with age typically. So you have to strike while the iron is hot. We wait 2-3 years. Garrett Crochet's halfway through his deal. And then for 3 years, maybe you get to the World Series one time and that's your hope. Like, that's what your goal was. There were some teams that went all in, trade in, do whatever you have to do. Like the San Diego Padres, they did whatever they had to do. They got Juan Soto. They went in to get everybody they needed to partner alongside him to try to get that team to the World Series. That was arguably the best team in baseball before the Dodgers went out and started buying everybody. So yeah, no, I think that you're going to have more than two shots at it. You know, if I'm kind of just glancing over this message, we're missing the boat if we're thinking about holding off in any way, shape, or form. Terry mentioned it. Roman Anthony, number one player in Major League Baseball as far as like the prospect rankings are concerned. He's number one in the pipe. There's absolutely, it's nonsensical. It makes absolutely, it defies logic to keep him in AAA. If he's torching it, bring him up. It's stupid to leave him there. And I'm getting frustrated and I don't want to get frustrated. So before I continue going down like a dark path, Mike Spear, thank you for the take. I disagree with you. I pray that Roman Anthony lights it up and, you know, we never have to have like a questionable take like that one again. Anything else you guys want to add?
I just want to say the energy of his arrival to this team. I mean,
it's going to help.
How many times have the Red Sox had the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball? The last time I'm pretty sure it happened, it was Yoan Moncada, and we traded him before, you know, he did make his debut here. It was very brief. It was in September of whatever year, but it's so rare to have that guy, you know, on your roster to be able to come up and make an impact. And hopefully it happens this week. Honestly,
I think Anthony's going to be way better than Moncada. And I know where people were going with Moncada, but he ended his career in Boston with 10 straight strikeouts. I think I don't remember the exact number. It was either 8, 10 or 12, something like that. It was awful. I mean, every plate appearance, it was really bad and he was gone. So, I mean, yeah, you could be number one, but you know, that's the thing is you don't stay number one. You're eventually going to get elevated into a new spot, new number. It's dumb to keep the number one prospect in baseball, not in Major League Baseball. It's dumb. And hopefully we can stop making dumb decisions. Anything else we want to add to that one? Cool. My take is coming from Ben Lichtig. I hope I pronounced it correctly, @Ben_Lichtig. I'm guessing it's German. I'm not sure. Option Hamilton, bring up Grissom, and start platooning Casas and Grissom. Winner stays, loser gets optioned. So thank you for the hot take. Definitely one that made me think. Optioning Hamilton would be an interesting situation for me because he's not really the person that I would option first. But I know that if we option somebody else, their confidence could get shattered and that would be a nightmare. Grissom has been doing great in AAA. So he's definitely going to earn an opportunity at the major league level. We're here. Start platooning Casas and Grissom at first base. We already know what Casas is doing right now. That's not helping. And to offer that like indirect threat, if you don't perform, you're going to be replaced. You're going to be optioned. Probably also not going to help. Although I agree with the sentiment, because if you're not performing, you're out. Like, this is a results-based business. It's a business. If you're not performing, you're out. You don't get to keep your job in sales if you don't sell. And in this job, if you don't hit and you're not playing elite defense and being a stellar guy in the clubhouse, you really don't have much, you know, much room to stay. And it's not like you're a 12-year vet. You haven't been here all that long. And you've had several cups of coffee here. You've had injuries, some weird situations populate. But I mean, I'm curious to know what's going to happen with Grissom. If Grissom lights it up, dude, it's going to be an interesting situation. The only question is, you know, optioning Hamilton, like I understand why some people would want to do it, but Casas just straight up isn't performing. So I'm very curious to see how Grissom does. I really am. I'm very curious. So Ben, thank you for the hot take. Terry.
We talked a little bit about that on the, I think it was a Saturday morning drop, the Tristan Casas replacements episode. And since then, and I advocated it, I'm willing to try anything at this point to get Tristan Casas off this roster, whether it's optioning him or trading him. And the latter is not going to happen. So you basically have to option him. And I'll take it a step further from the hot take. I wouldn't even platoon Casas. Like I said, just give it to Grissom. Give him an opportunity. If there's anybody that wants to prove themselves more than anyone on that AAA roster, it's Vaughn Grissom. And since that show, he had a 5-for-5 game on the 18th. So that was, what, 4 days ago? I think that was Friday. 4 of those 5 hits were doubles. The 5th of those hits was a home run. So he's hit 3 on the year. He's driven in 9, I believe. And they've been using him at first base. So if they're doing that, if they're taking that step, this is a possibility. And he hits from the right side, which we need right now. So I think it makes a ton of sense. I'm not worried about hurting Tristan Casas's feelings. He's a major net negative in every imaginable way. He's giving us nothing. He's hitting balls to the warning track and he's an automatic out. He's not played in, guys. I know he did bounce one off the monster to win Saturday's game, but that would have been a fly ball out in most parks. Let Grissom have one more shot at it. You don't have another first baseman in the system. You either have to, you could make Devers your first baseman. You could trade for one, but, or you could give a guy like Vaughn Grissom an opportunity to do something. It's a win-win and he can't be any worse than Casas. So you bring him up, maybe he wins the spot for a while. Maybe he becomes the third piece in a big trade later on if he can hold that spot down. But Casas is a very one-dimensional player, and he's polarizing in the clubhouse. And by the way, that game where he hit the walk-off and bounced it off the monster, nobody gave Tristan Casas an ice bath. Nobody dumped the Gatorade cooler over his head. I don't think he's got a ton of friends in that clubhouse. So I just feel like sending him to Worcester at this point, not the end of the world.
Jeremy.
So I'm all for giving whoever they think gives them a better chance to get on base, whoever it is, I don't care. Today we're talking about Vaughn Grissom. Fine. They're obviously thinking about it because he's not a first baseman playing first base in Worcester, so it's on the menu. I don't think Hamilton is the guy to be optioned or DFA'd. He does too many things for this team. He's really supplemental in a number of ways. Up the middle defense, second base, and short. And I know you're probably going to tell me Rafaela can play short and they can figure out. Well, he's the primary base runner. You know, he doesn't need to play a ton to be effective, which is something I would say about Ref Schneider as well. So maybe Romy would be the option for me, or like Terry's alluding to, the outright option of Cassis. They've got to do something. And as I said in the recap show, it may not have to be for a prolonged period of time. Charlie, you mentioned possibly kind of a, you know, hey, we got a little hamstring thing going on with Cassis. That may not be real. Get him away from the team for a couple days, get him back, train. But, you know, get away. Don't think about baseball. He's in his own head. He's completely lost. As I said in the recap show, I kind of feel bad for the guy. So if Grissom's the name that gets the shot, I'm okay with it. It's got to be something, though. It's got to be something.
Anything else you guys want to add? I mean, I understand why some people want to get rid of Hamilton. Hamilton hasn't really done anything as far as offense is concerned, but that's not why he's on this team. You know, he has a couple hits this year. One of them is a home run. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I get it. Yeah, like that. Yes, but two hits on the year, 12 games, 27 at-bats, not a lot of strikeouts, a couple stolen bases. And if you're going to be here, you've got to do something. And I think David Hamilton's an infielder. Vaughn Grissom isn't going to give you speed. He doesn't steal bases. But if he's able to play first, second, short, third, he's going to be challenging a couple people. And he's going to be able to be there to give somebody a day off, especially like Chisholm Casas, who's just needing of several days off. Anything else we want to add to that? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Super quick. Grissom has been, I don't want to say a stud, but he's been an extremely successful hitter at every step of the minors. And in a very short sample size with the Braves, had decent offensive numbers. Okay, then he came to Boston, got hurt. And the fact that he's crushing it right now in AAA, hitting .342 with a .400 on base, that tells me he doesn't feel like he's damaged goods. That tells me he's a player who's hell-bent on reestablishing himself. Let's give him the opportunity. Like I said, you've got nothing to lose. There's nothing but upside there. And if
he
sucks,
as long as he fields, as long as he catches the ball at first base.
That's the big mystery. But, you know, if he sucks, Casas was going to suck anyway. So you didn't really lose.
Yeah, we got time for one more. I think we can just kind of rapid fire this one. Johnny Fontaine from one of our regulars. Always fun to interact with him. Jerry and him have adorable back and forth. I think they're actually friends off the air. They probably know each other. Breslow ignoring the premium reliever market in the offseason is hurting the team. Middle relief is awful. Jeremy, do you want to go first for your friend's sake?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, first of all, they went and got Chapman, so we can't say they totally ignored it. And Terry in the recap show again mentioned this, but if you want to go about relievers are the easiest thing to fix at the deadline. You go to the bad teams, get their best reliever. The Yankees have been doing it forever. You know, we've done it in years past. I'm not worried about the bullpen. This team strikes out a ton and can't catch the baseball. That's the thing that's killing the Boston Red Sox. So I'm a little, you know, Johnny, and I know you're going to tweet at me. I'm a little bit confused by why you even think that that's the biggest issue facing the Red Sox. It's if you can't catch the ball at the big league level and you're not putting the ball in play and even forcing the defense to make a play, in other words, put the other team in a position to be in stressful situations where they commit errors or we're able to take extra bases, you're not going to be successful. The reason why we're 12-10 is that The relievers are going to work itself out. Slayton's been great. Chapman's been great. Weissert had a blip in the White Sox series, but he's been good. Whitlock's been awesome. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to have a huge year. I mean, the bullpen is not the reason why we're 12 and 10. It's just not.
I'll take it a step further. I think the bullpen has not been managed well by Alex Cora. I think Zach Kelly has been grossly mismanaged. I mean, he's a one inning guy, and I think would thrive with one inning every time out. I'm not convinced that he's utilizing Garrett Whitlock in the most optimal way. I could be wrong on that, but if you're using him one inning every time out, I think perhaps that's more beneficial, because if he goes two innings, 30 pitches, he's not available until the third day after that. So I don't know if I love that. I mean, there was at least one game in that White Sox series where Chapman and Whitlock were unavailable. It's hard to map out how you're going to navigate three innings with those guys being unavailable. I'm just saying. And just to piggyback off of another guy real quick, Tim Krause says Justin Slayton is the closer. I like that. You look at Slayton's ERA, it's 4.50. That doesn't sound good. And the reason that doesn't sound good is he gave up four runs in one outing, didn't record an out, and that's the reason it's blown up. In 10 appearances, Justin Slayton has been scoreless in 9 of them. So I trust him. He closed it out today. I had to listen to the game since it was a day game. I'm assuming Chapman pitched the 8th because there were probably some lefties, and it just made sense. So Slayton came in and closed it out. He also pitched one of the middle innings, the 8th inning of game 2, scoreless in that one as well, struck out a pair. I don't mind Slayton in the 9 hole.
So if we're going to talk about this being Johnny, the reliever market issue, you know, you got Liam Hendricks, who you paid a 2-year deal. He didn't play 2024, recovering, has had one game, has gotten his like bell rung. Michael Fulmer, one game, tried to give him like an opportunity to kind of refine himself. Same thing. He's had one game, pitched 2+ innings, has gotten shelled. Zach Kelly, I'll give it to you. 4 straight appearances. I understand, not a 2-inning guy. The problem is, he didn't even get an out in the last outing, you know, in that Chicago blowout. He hit 2 batters. You can't do that. And he's allowed 2 runs or more in 4 straight. So you saw an ERA go from 2.25 up to 9. So now he's averaging a run an inning. He's allowed 10 in 10 innings. Yeah, he's got 11 strikeouts. Big whoop. You're still getting shelled. So I get your understanding. I would feel uncomfortable putting Greg Weissert in that conversation only because he's gotten 2 bad, you know, outings, and the rest of it, he's been really, really stellar. So I can't say anything bad about it. I don't think that it would be completely valid for a point that Jeremy made. And again, I'm also happy on the fact that, you know, now that Garrett Whitlock's in the bullpen, we have a really strong pen. You can't add Aroldis Chapman and say that you ignored premium relievers. That's just bar none. Guy has World Series experience, World Series championship experience. The guy knows how to get it done. If he's in the 8th inning, the 9th inning, I think he's going to be stellar. No, he's not a 2-inning guy. I don't think they should be putting Kelly in for more than an inning. And I don't think he should pitch for like 4 or 5 days until he gets his head straight. Because you can't come out allowing 2 runs in 4 straight and think that, you know, everything's peachy. I don't think it's been awful. I think it could have been better. And I think the Red Sox now moving forward for 2025 and beyond need to make decisions that are benefiting the team in the immediate future and not, okay, we'll just hope for something in 2 years. We'll give them a 2-year deal and pray that in 2 years they're good. Anything else you guys want to add to that one? Cool. That is going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.